Well, good afternoon, or good morning to everyone. I guess afternoon. Yep, it is. So, what I'd like to do is make a couple of opening statements. It's kind of a risky sermonette, and I debated whether or not I should give it. There's two risks primarily that we run in giving this sermonette. The first is because of the profound implication of some of the words we'll talk about, it's possible that I'll get emotional and maybe lose control. The second is that it's so simplistic, and you know this, it would be very easy to dismiss it and say, oh yeah, I know that, I got it. And that would be a shame because you would miss out. So I'm certainly going to need your work and help to make this a successful sermonette. I'd like to begin by asking you a question. The question would be this, do you know who I am? Think about it. What's your answer? Do you know who I am? Whatever came in your mind would not be the same as someone else. Some of you might say, well, that's Dan. Of course, I know him. Some of you might say, well, that's that speaker guy up there. And at least one person, I hope, would say, well, that's my dad. And there are other people who might say, well, that's Hannah's dad. You see, the truth is we all come from different perspectives and we all have different perceptions. And those color the way we think, they color the conclusions we make, and ultimately they color and direct what we can come and what we can become. So perception becomes very critical to us. It's the basis for our attitudes, our thoughts, our motives, our beliefs, and ultimately our actions. Henry Ford put it this way. He said, the man that thinks he can and the man that thinks he can't, both are correct. God had another way of putting it. God says, for whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The truth is our perceptions lead us to our realities. And the perception that is most fundamental to us as human beings is the perception we have of ourselves. Some time back, I remember Mr. Bob Rayner gave a sermon talking about we can't possibly love others until we learn how to love ourselves. Well, we're going to have to adjust and make sure we have the right perception of ourselves for that to even happen. Self-perception becomes self-determination. I'd like to now think back to the story of Job without recanting it. Now, if we use our brains and think just a little bit, I think we all would agree the Bible calls Job a righteous man. He knew scripture, he knew some scripture, he knew some truths. I don't think we would doubt that Job, in his head, knew that God was great and that man was weak. But he had to go through all that trial and all that trouble to come to the conclusion, oh, I used to hear with the hearing of the ear, and now I see with the seeing of the eyes. I now comprehend God is great, man is weak. That's one way you could summarize that book. Another way would be to say that Job went through a process that took head knowledge and made it heart knowledge. The scripture I referred to in Proverbs talks about two interesting things. It doesn't say that whatsoever man thinks in his head, so is he. It says what it is in your heart. There's a difference between what we know in our heads and what we know that we know. What we believe, what we feel, what we think in every fiber of our being. And it is that I'm talking about. How can we change that perception so it comes in line with some of the fundamental truths of the Bible? In John 3:16, I think we find one of the most important truths of all Scripture. And that's where God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him can not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we know this, and it's easy to just say, oh yeah, I got it. I've heard it. Protestants use it for years. But what I've had to ask myself, has that drastically and dynamically changed my life? Am I forever very different? Is that the fruits that show out of my life? I've met people not in the church that nothing seems to shake them. I know one lady, done her windows for years. My dad did her windows for years. She's upbeat, and had cancer, looked like she would die. Didn't miss a beat. She had taken this one scripture, and she had internalized it to the fact that it changed everything about her. It made her very, very different. The other thing that's interesting about the scripture I referred to in Proverbs, where it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word thinketh comes from a Hebrew that means estimate. So whatever your estimate of yourself is in your heart, that's what you become. So it's very important that we have the right estimate of ourselves. Otherwise, we become something we should never have been become. And that knowledge that God loved us, that we're special to Him, that needs to taint our self-view, our perception of ourselves. I get to thinking, I don't know if you guys watch TV, some of these reality shows, but there is a there's a new one called Out the Apprentice. And what's very interesting, it's a storyline where Donald Trump has selected 16 people to come and do 13 weeks of task, and eventually he's going to choose one of them to run one of his companies. And when you see these people and you hear them, their confidence, their excitement is off the charts. Even one guy who didn't pass and he got sent home, he said, this has made my life. It's made my year. I shook his hand. He thought enough of me that I was even here. I could have run one of his companies. Well, when I'm battling depressions or feelings of inferiority, how can that be when I know that God loves me? How much more significant that is that than these people to get a tryout just to run one of Donald Trump's little teeny companies compared to a universe? How many of our problems would just be put into small, in a real small level if we comprehended on a heart level that God loves us, that He died for us? I think it's next week there's a movie coming out that chronicles the story, a true story, of the 1980 hockey team. It's a true story, and the crux of that whole movie, in my mind, comes back to this concept of perception. This coach rides these people and rides the coaches almost to the point of breaking them. And he did it so that they would change their perception of who they were. And once they change the perception of who they are, they redefine themselves. Their future is different. Then the miracle becomes possible. So I won't say more in case you want to watch the movie. But it's interesting that true life miracles and amazing things happen when we follow some of these biblical principles. When we shift our perception of ourselves and get it in line with reality, then miraculous things can happen. So how do we transfer head knowledge into heart knowledge? Well, I think I can demonstrate. For those of you who can't see me, I'm holding it with a glass of water and it's clear. This glass of water would represent our minds, our bodies, and our self-perception. This little vial, this represents one of God's truths. Let's say this represents John 3:19. I'm a good Christian, and I've had that truth, and I can tell everyone, I got this truth. I even know the Sabbath. I know the holidays. I'm really in there. But we know that I can know about the Sabbath. I can tell you it starts from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. I can tell you how to keep it, why it's important. But if I don't do it, what good am I? Has my life changed at all? No. It's only when we do it that we get benefits. So the question is, how do we do John 3:16? How do we do God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son? Well, we do that by simply doing what David did. We meditate on God's law day and night. We think about it. We personalize it. We don't read that God so loved the whole world. We read, God so loved you and me that He gave His Son. And there's nothing He wouldn't do for us. He's dedicated to us. And we think about those things and we meditate on them to the point, guess what? My mind and my heart are now different. I'm no longer the same creation. When we pray and fast and ask God to change our hearts, change our perspectives, help us comprehend what He's offered us, we now become different. And the interesting thing, once you're different, now anything you add into here, it no longer looks the same because our perception is different. And that's what it means to change our heart, to yield it to God. David did this. And David is a man who had a lot of problems. He had inferiority complexes. We don't have time to go through it. But if you simply think about the whole process of when David was to be anointed king, here God sent a man to say, anoint one of the house of Jesse. David's dad thought so much of him, he never even presented him. Either he didn't care much for him, or he just, how in the world could you possibly be interested in him? Think about the psychological impact of that. But David never was defined by his fears, his limitations, or his failings. He always looked toward that relationship with God. So I begin by asking, who am I? Well, I'm a special treasure to God. I'm someone that God has loved, sent his son for. There's nothing he wouldn't do for me to help me or encourage me. I am a person who has a destiny of the entire universe. I'm someone who has a new body waiting for him, a new name, new abilities. I'm someone who is being adopted into the God family. The paperwork has already been sent in. It's just a matter of me to accept it. I am someone that God has loved unconditionally, knowing my sins, flaws, knowing that I'm short and overweight. It doesn't matter. He loves me, and he knows even sins I don't even know yet. Yet he still can love me. Because all of this is true, I'm someone who can have peace that passes all understanding. I can abound with joy. I can even have hope in times of trials. And you know what? I can forgive not 7 times 7, but 7 times 70. All because of what God has offered me. Now you know who I am. Who are you? Who are you in your head? And who are you in your heart?